She leads, she thrives. The home of inspired conversations, practical and creative wisdom, expansive leadership and business insights, abundant braggadocious moments of celebration, and useful info you can actually do something with. You'll hear about mindset, marketing, money, magnetism, self-awareness and the Thrive Factor framework, its archetypes and more. Amplify your role as a leader, a self-led soul. Tap into your effortless success zone. Turn your ingeniousness and wisdom into profitable income streams. From solo shows to guests you'll definitely want more from, there's something for every ambitious, ingenious soul. I'm Shannon Dunn, a true OG of the business coaching space with an obsession with thriving. You are so welcome here. Let's dive into today's episode. Great big hello, everyone. Welcome back to another phenomenal, putting you on the spot, Holly Ann, phenomenal guest episode for today. I'm Shannon Dunn, a long-term business and self-leadership coach and your host here at She Leads, She Thrives. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you've been around for a while, as I say, I think just about every single time I have a guest episode, I've got another incredible soul to share with you today. And I also like to share, as we start, before I share Holly Ann's bio today, I'm going to share with you about how I know her. Some of the guests I know in person, like I do with you, Holly Ann, and some of the guests I've just known online for a long time, or there's been other connections. But I know Holly Ann, like, I'm not kind of lost track of how long ago we actually met through like mutual kind of friends and stuff in business in Perth, because you and I are in the same city. But it's a while back now, isn't it?
Oh, I'd say at least 8 years.
Yeah, easily. And fascinated by what you were doing in your business, which you're going to get to today, and just getting to know you. And then I know that when you came to retreat with me at the end of 2019, like I can't believe that's nearly 4 years ago, right? I know, getting to know you in a whole nother way of that beautiful, you know, kind of week we spent together with a group, and the courage that I saw in you on another level to really kind of connect with yourself to support your business was just such a joy. So thank you for saying yes when I reached out. It's like, come and be on a podcast. come and chat with me. And I'm really excited to see what we talk about today, because your business, but also when everyone is like, what are we going to talk about? Like, I'm sure they're like curious. When I get to share with you what Holly Ann's area of expertise is, we will talk a little bit about that as well. Even though it's not directly related to business, it's important. And as I said to Holly Ann before we started recording today, it would be, I think, remiss of us not to give you an opportunity to share some of what could be very helpful for the, you know, the people that are going to be listening to us today. So, right? Yeah.
Well, they're going to be parents. They're going to be aunts and grandmothers and, you know, dads. Maybe dads. I don't know if dads. Do dads listen to your podcast?
Oh, yeah, there is. I do believe there are some men, even though it's She Leads, She Thrives. Like, there is, you know, I have kind of like feedback from males every now and again. And we have had one male guest on the podcast. I think, you know, who knows, right? And it might be that someone listens and ends up sharing this episode with others because of what we could end up talking about. So,
well, and everybody knows a child, so
Totally. So let me share your bio so people can get a sense of who you are, and then we'll get into our conversation for today. So Holly Ann Martin, OAM, is the founder and managing director of Safer Kids, started in 2007, right? Been around a while now. It's like me. I'm about the same kind of time frame, and it's like, whoa, how did we get there? Long time.
Like that.
Yeah, I know. And with over 35 years of experience in teaching child abuse prevention education, she's presented the thought-provoking Safer Kids program at over 40 conferences to audiences across the globe, from the United Kingdom, the United States of America, to every state and territory of Australia, Cambodia, Indonesia, Mexico, and Qatar. Like, I'm sure there's like so many more, but that's just phenomenal when you think like I visualize mapping it all out on a globe and seeing all the places. Yeah, that's cool. Holly Ann was also inducted into the West Australian Women's Hall of Fame in 2016 in recognition of her work in education, her passion for and commitment to child abuse prevention. And in 2022, so just last year, she was awarded an Order of Australia Medal for service to children by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Oh my goodness. I remember like celebrating that. What a surprise celebration.
Yes, it was wonderful.
Yeah, a couple of friends and your immediate family, which was such a lovely thing to acknowledge. That's a big deal, my friend, right?
I still pinch myself. It's still very humbling, to be honest.
Yeah. I guess that's one thing that really has always stood out to me about you as an individual, your courage to keep doing what you do. And we're going to talk about some of the challenges and things that you faced and navigated through, but also how humble you are, right? Leanne and I have a habit of, well, me, I guess, of sometimes making you get quite emotional.
Yes, you do.
I know. Crying's okay here if you do that. I'm not trying to make you feel terrible, but that really has stood out to me in the time I've known you, is like how humble you are. And of course, I remember, I think it was our mutual friend Donna who said to me, like, Holly Ann's got like, you know, OAM. And so of course she has. Like, that was kind of to us as your friends. It's like, well, of course. So yeah, it was lovely to celebrate that with you. So I want to kind of go back to the beginning, even before Safe for Kids, and hear a little bit from you about how you ended up being in business and doing what you're doing. So if you could share a little bit of the story behind your business, whatever feels appropriate for you to share, I think that's a really good starting point, because it's not every day you get to meet someone who works in the space that you work in, right? Like, it's not a kind of common thing necessarily, no.
Well, and from where I started, to be honest, because I was a teacher assistant working with children with special needs.
Yeah.
And I was in a school where there was a critical incident, and I was in one of the first schools in Western Australia trained in protective behaviours. So for 25 years, I taught it to the children that I'd worked with. And then before I left education, I was in a school that was, the principal was very progressive, and she had me teaching protective behaviours in three, it was a language development centre. We had three sites. So I was going across and teaching it to all of the children there.
Yeah.
2007, I went up into two remote communities in the Kimberley, where some horrendous things were happening. It was all over the front page of the West Australian. And at the same time, I'd met a lady that worked for child protection and shown her some of my resources. And she said, Holly, you need to back yourself. You need to get this out. Wow. So I just saw a huge need for resources. And, people were being trained in protective behaviours, but not necessarily having, the people that were training hadn't necessarily taught it to children. Mm. You know, basically my program is 25 years worth of failures. And so
learnings.
Well, yeah, that's a better language. So basically I took $250,000 loan out on my home, took 2 years leave without pay to see if I could make it a go of it, and have been doing it full-time ever since. Yeah. So it's, you know, I just saw a huge need to help both teachers and parents.
Yes.
Have uncomfortable conversations with children. But, you know, when I think back now, I'm going, who in their right mind would start a business about the most popular topic in the world?
Mm.
And so that's what keeps me going, to be honest, because trying to, you know, stay ahead, like I used to say our program was the most confronting.
Okay.
And now say progressive, because that's better language.
Yes.
But because I'm so blessed to have worked with children from, you know, 2 to 17, you know, I do a lot of work in remote Aboriginal communities, and that's not because it's happening more there. It's just because of word of mouth, and the way that I teach resonates with, you know, children in remote communities. But the fact that, you know, I'm in front of children, and, you know, kids, the world has changed, and some people are still teaching protective behaviours like it was the 80s when it first came to Australia.
Wow.
There was no TikTok back then. There were no iPhones.
I know. Technology, as a bare minimum, has got to be one of the most significant influences on what you need to be teaching now.
Yeah. So, you know, because children will tell me something, or, you know, I'll see something, like, oh, gosh, I need to write a book about that. Yeah. I need to write a song about that. So I've been blessed to have written 11 songs
for
children in remote communities. And, you know, they're so on point because, and I can honestly hand on heart say the children have written these songs, because the latest one is about sextortion. And it says talking stories rather than telling stories. And I'm going, ooh. I just wanted to tweak it, but no, it's the children's song.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're so on point. So, and because it's sort of like I looked at setting up a not-for-profit, but when we looked at our business model, we were actually advised by lawyers not to do that because everything that I come up with in my head, we own.
Yes. Like your not-for-profit, it's so significant. Yeah.
It would belong to the not-for-profit. So unfortunately, because we're not a not-for-profit, we can't apply for grants. So it's sort of like a double-edged sword. But at least I don't have to go to a board and get things, you know, rubber stamped. And I mean, who in their right mind would write a song about sextortion? It's needed.
Yes, but it's not the thing that you think, oh, that's just a nice thing to do today. I know, but as you
said, Tim Minchin, I joke about, you know, maybe he would write one because he wrote the brilliant Cardinal Pell song.
Yeah.
But it's really important that, you know, I keep up to date. I keep, you know, the world is changing so rapidly, and to try and keep parents up to date as well, because you know, they didn't grow up with phones, so they don't know how to parent in a world where technology is. Driven. So
Definitely. And it's something else that I've always found so fascinating about your work is your commitment to understand, like, so many different technology-driven platforms that children are accessing, right? And I think, you know, you and I are kind of in a similar age group, and we didn't grow up with technology. But you would be one person high on my list if I wanted to know about some specific platform, how it works. Like, I know I'd ask you, I could ask you and you would know about it and then probably tell me about three more I haven't even heard of yet, right? So your commitment to that learning is always, like, been so interesting to me.
You know, technology is the new, we used to talk, you know, back in the 80s about stranger danger.
Yes.
And, you know, the white vans driving around parks trying to abduct kids. Kids are online. Kids are at more risk of being in their own bedrooms playing some of the on the platforms that they're on
in the community
than playing in the park by themselves for two hours. To be honest,
kind of fascinating to think about how much a child's childhood has changed. And I can't, like, you and I are not parents, but sometimes I have gratitude for that because of, I can only imagine the challenges that actually do come with parenting way beyond what we tend to think about, right? So much. All right. So we've had lots of conversations over the time we've known each other as well about this topic of expertise. And as you refer to, I'm just trying to think what the names were and that, like, the obstacles you face, but in trying to speak about the unspeakable, that was the phrase that you use, which I thought, yeah, that is so apt. So what have you learned from being in that space and still continuing to move forward and navigating is such a topic that is an unspeakable topic for so many different reasons for people? As I said, it's not that people are ignorant of the fact things are happening and that there needs to be support and education for their children, for themselves, but, like, we don't really want to talk about it. So what have you learned about that through the course of this being your business?
Well, to try and not make it scary, that's why I wrote, you know, children's books.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wrote two books to help parents talk to their children about pornography. Now, who in their right mind would write these? I've had to self-publish because they're not, you know, I'm not Mem Fox and they're not, you know, those popular books. But they're needed. So I also wrote about a book about children exhibiting harmful sexual behaviour. So I want to help parents have those conversations in a child-friendly way, because I believe that we need to start protective education by 3 at the latest, and we need to talk about pornography from 6 at the latest.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
And, you know, when parents hear that, they, you know, get upset and get cross and things like that. So I hope... And, you know, that's why I'm so grateful that I did your archetypes and stuff like that, because, you know, I've got quite a few of them.
You have.
I think I got 6.
You have got 6, I remember.
It's the, you know, I am actually able to code switch and things like that. So, you know, when I did the course with you, it sort of made sense. Like, you know, I've been really blessed to have run 96 workshops with solely Aboriginal men. talking as openly as we're talking now about child abuse, and that's unheard of.
Right, yeah.
Because of my shapeshifter and things like that, I can just go into, you know, it's not naming, blaming and shaming. It's just simply, this is what I'm teaching your children, thought you'd like to know about it. And, you know, when I have to talk to the men so openly, and a lot of people say, oh, you can't talk to Aboriginal men about that, that's not culturally sensitive. And the men say, Holly, we like you because you tell us straight way. And they're our kids too.
Right. Yes. So,
I'm blessed to be able to, you know, code switch. And I use, like when I'm talking about online grooming or grooming with children, with Aboriginal people, we call it friending them up.
Okay.
Because if I said grooming, they would think I'm putting on makeup and brushing your hair.
Yes.
So, you know, to be able to understand, you know, what my strengths are and sort of nurture those has been really wonderful. But, you know, I was a teacher assistant. What did I know about marketing? What did I know about anything, to be honest? I knew about
This is like the topic that you teach about is obviously, as we said, it's not the sexy kind of, you know, fun, everyone wants to know about it. But most of us, though, the thing you have in common with a large percentage of business owners is that we come to business not knowing how to lead a business, how to do marketing, how to, you know, to do all the financial aspects and, you know, actually get out in front of clients. Like we don't, that's a common thing for business owners. And like very much I would think like knowing your story about how you ended up in your business, you didn't start out to do that. Like it's very much like the accidental business owner. And I love women who have come to do something that, like for you, you've been doing for such a long time now. And it's kind of just, it's just who is part of your identity, right? A big part of your identity. But it didn't, you didn't kind of go wake up one day and go, oh, let me just do this thing. Like it wasn't intentional and thought out in that kind of a way of mapped it all out and all the moving parts. It's just, I know for you, like a lot of us, so much growth and learning along the way, yes, about your area of expertise, but about how to actually do that in a business so that it actually, the message gets to where it needs to go, right?
Yeah. I do sometimes, you know, fall down because I'm so busy working. I know that's a cliche, but, you know, you're working in your business rather than on your business.
Yes, we do, yeah.
But I have to, because basically unless I'm standing in front of children, I don't earn any money. So, you know, I've got a head full of 1,000 ideas of new resources that I need to produce. But, so what happens is my husband, I was lucky enough to marry, after I had my business, a beautiful man. He used to work for the Fremantle Dockers, and I joke that he left the losing team to come on a winning team.
Right. But I'll just as a side note for those, because we have such a large like North American audience, that's all right. I'll just point that out. That is a local Australian rules football team. And it's the one that historically in Perth, where Holly and I are based, hasn't been as successful as the other team, which Holly and I both go for. So just for context, anyone listening? Yeah.
But I joke he left the losing team to come on a winning team.
Yes.
But, you know, so, you know, we're both trying to, you know, neither of us have children. So this is our legacy, is how we look at it. And, you know, so I do training to do the next lot of resources and the next lot of resources. So, you know, trying to find time to do the marketing and do the, you know, all of the stuff.
All the things, that's right. It's never ending, right? And then you spend time in remote communities where I have no doubt that you also are challenged with access to internet, right? To be able to actually like share something in terms of a piece of content that's relevant or forward an article that you've written or been quoted in or that you've seen as a good resource. So there's those kind of gaps as well of those interruptions. Yeah.
Oh, totally, yeah. Totally. Yeah. So, you know, some communities I have to actually go out into the, I have to get into the local Wi-Fi that's only open at a certain time. And then I've got crowds of kids around me because they all want to see Miss Holly. It can be a real hoot.
Yeah.
I've got dogs trying to hump your leg.
Yes. All sorts of stuff. But yeah, as you said before, you have the shapeshifter alchemist archetype. If anyone's listening to us chat and you haven't listened to my episode where I talk about the shapeshifter alchemist, go back and listen to that. But you know, with her ability to be so flexible and adaptable and go with the flow, and as you talked about before, be able to kind of be the version of yourself that's the most appropriate for the audience that you're in. Yeah, such a gift for what you're doing, right? And then I think I just kind of to talk about archetypes for a moment now. The other one, you're like the mediator diplomat archetype, which is the archetype of things being truth, fair, just, equal, you know, the equity aspect. That is a huge, I know, driver behind your, I've got to keep going, even though this is hard, you know, it's challenging. And I know that we're having to navigate in this space, in this topic, that you've probably had a lot more no's and being ignored when you've tried to kind of reach out and teach and do different things than you have yeses over all these years, right, just because of the nature of it all. So how do you support yourself to keep moving forward when it might feel like you're actually taking a lot of steps sideways or backwards in large periods of time?
My husband's favourite saying is we have a house on disappointment street because, you know, we've been promised money by government and then there's a change in government and that money disappears and, you know, all of these things. But, you know, another thing that I'm really concerned about for myself is vicarious trauma, because I hear so many horrible, horrible stories and, you know, I have parents contacting me all the time, you know, this has happened to my child, how do I, you know, how can you help? Which, you know, you don't get paid for that, but, you know, you have to do it because there's nowhere else for them to go. So
also part of your character, you would share and you would support anyway because it's who you are, right?
Yeah. One of my other appetites, but anyway.
Yeah, I know, advocate rescuer.
But so, you know, to keep myself safe mentally, my happy place is rock and roll dancing. So
yes.
And I also see a kinesiologist where I go and basically I just cry for 3 hours and she balances me and I feel like I can continue because, you know, I am the face of our business and there is only, you know, my husband does the back end stuff, but we, you know, if I don't, you know, sometimes I've let my health, I haven't looked after myself and that sort of stuff. And it's really difficult when you're in a remote community, especially to go walking, because there are something called cheeky dogs.
Yes, yes.
And again, for your international listeners, they're vicious dogs in communities. Yes. And, you know, if you're walking around, they're likely to bite you. Mm. So it's not always safe to go walking and stuff. So it's really, you know, I think as business owners, we really need to, because especially if you're solo like us, you know, because we're so busy and just keep going, sometimes we forget to take time for ourselves. Yeah. And so this year I've tried to do that because I'm also getting older.
Yeah.
So it's really important that, you know, I take that there.
Yeah, and it's like that choosing to have a strategy of topping up your cup before you go into a place where it might be drained a bit, rather than going in kind of, you know, equilibrium or a bit drained and then just getting completely depleted. And that's where we get sick, whether it's you know, physically, emotionally, otherwise, not such a good thing. And, you know, you mentioned the dogs, but I can also imagine that with the remoteness of some of the communities that there'd be times where getting access to fresh food and things like that is so challenging. So in terms of like being able to have good nutrition to support your well-being, yeah, all sorts of different interruptions there. But you still persist.
But back to, you know, what you sort of asked initially was, you know, what's my why?
Yeah.
You know, when you've got those big brown eyes looking up at you and, you know, it just keeps you going, you know, my thing is just one.
Yeah.
If I can keep one safe.
Yes.
That will all be worth it.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I can only imagine how overwhelming, though, at times the enormity of your mission must feel. Right. So how do you stay connected to that why and keep the, you know, the motivation and the momentum moving in a hopefully forward trajectory most of the time when it feels like that, you know, maybe no one's listening or not enough people actually want to acknowledge the importance of this? Yeah.
I feel like one of those clowns that you punch in the face and they just spring back with a big smile on their face sort of thing. I'm really lucky to have such a supportive husband. And even though I sometimes try and protect him as well, I don't tell him about all the horrible mm-hmm. stories, because he's quite a soft soul, and you know, I don't ever want to traumatize him either. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, it's really important that, you know, I've got a really good you know, people like yourself and like Donna and people that when I need a hug, I can get a hug, sort of thing. So I think it's really important as business owners that we have a net. Well, one of the things we teach kids is to have a safety team of 5 adults they can talk to if they feel unsafe. And, you know, I'm really fortunate to have a safety team of people like yourself and Donna that I can go to and just have a whinge and get a hug.
It's just an offload, isn't it? And just to have some different human connection and people that, I think, yeah, surrounding ourselves with those key people that support us in what we do, even though we might, like you and I don't get to see each other very often because you travel so much. And I know when you downtime, you want to spend it with Roger and like there's other things as well. But when we do catch up, the meaningfulness behind that, because of we understand how precious it is. But that, you know, when you can do that and it's going to top that cup up of, you know, in the times where you might be feeling very alone and isolated, you can think about the people that you, you know, saw the last time you were at home or months before, to remember that there you do have your own safety team. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I know.
And it's talking your walk, really.
Yeah, definitely. But you're right, we all need a safety team of some kind. I think business is definitely something that opens up the need for a safe kind of little circle, like your, what do they call it, you like your circle of trust, people that you can lean into, even if it's just sporadically or all the time, knowing that they truly do have your back and want to support you. So yeah, great kind of analogy there with what you do with the kids. So I think it would be remiss of us, as I said earlier, for us not to tap into though some of your wisdom and your expertise around this. You know, for anyone who's listening that's a parent, a grandparent, aunts, uncles, as I said, if we do have uncles listening, caregivers of children in some capacity, no matter where you are in the world. So Holly-Ann, kind of what's the first steps to take, you know, that we can, any of us, to try and support our kids to be as safe as possible, so particularly just starting with the online space, because we talked about that before, how that is such a prevalence of issue in this modern world in which our kids know more about technology than most of the people looking after them. Yeah.
And that's exactly right. And we talk about cyberspace and the real world. The children, it's all one world because they've never, ever known a world without it.
Yes, true.
So, you know, I'm really fortunate that when I learned originally, so the program that our program's based on is called Protective Behaviours.
Yes.
And it came to Australia in the late 80s in the place of Stranger Danger. But for me, I'm really lucky because our cyber stuff is based on the original program anyway. So, you know, what we need for parents or for any adult is to have open communication with children. I, as you mentioned before, I don't have children of my own, and I know how close you are to your nieces.
Yeah, and nephew.
You will be on their safety team because you'll be the cool aunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite often children won't tell their parent that, you know, they made a mistake and sent a naked image, or, you know, they're being online bullied or whatever, because they fear that the phone will be taken away or they'll get into trouble and things like that. So for people listening, just to have conversations with the children in their lives and saying, nothing you'll ever tell me will stop me loving you. Kids need to hear that a million times.
That's such a beautiful way to say it, isn't it? Yeah, I know that, like, you know, I think about with my nieces and my nephew and all of them, because the little one's kind of nearly 7 right through to the nearly 19-year-old now, like there's a bigger age gap there. But I've always said to them, if there's something that you ever can't tell your mum or dad, I'm here to listen no matter what it is. And I've said, like, and to be honest, if it's appropriate and it needs to be kept a secret between us because you want that trust and you're not in danger, I will hold that in my vault kind of thing. But if you're in danger or something like that, then I think it's my job on your behalf, if that comes to that, to talk to your actual parents. So my brothers and their wives. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've said that they were all little. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, we say we can talk to someone about anything, and that's why we have the safety team of the 5 adults they can talk to. So we use the hand. So on the thumb is anybody from their home. And then the 2 people from childcare or 2 people from school. yeah. and then to other people. So that is where the aunts and uncles and grandparents, yes. people from church, next door neighbours, just okay. any other.
That's a really great way to break it down so that the kids can identify different types of people in their broader network, where so it's not just you have to focus on like people at home where that actually may not be where there's safety.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so especially at the moment with this online, so sextortion here in Australia, and I know you've got a worldwide audience, it's exactly the same across the world, but here in Australia, our federal police are receiving 300 reports of teenagers being, so sextortion is where they might get sent an image, naked image, okay. and then they say, I sent you one, now you send me one.
Oh, okay.
And so they're receiving 300 reports of this a month. 90% of those reports are young men from 8 to 24.
Mm.
And so, you know, young people are making the mistake and taking the image and then saying, right, now you need to give me $5,000. I don't have $5,000. Okay, $500. I don't have any money.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have any money, you either need to send me more photos of yourself or better still, go and video your little brothers and sisters naked.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, young people are making the mistake, but they need to know that there are places to report that. So I spend a lot of time talking to adults about, here in Australia, we're so blessed to have the eSafety Commission, which is where cyberbullying would be reported to. And then if they have either received a naked picture or somebody's grooming them online, we have the ACCC, the Australian Centre to Counter Child Exploitation. And so the other place people online are approaching children is when they're playing online games,
yes.
like Fortnite, Roblox, yeah. or Minecraft.
Yeah.
And they'll be offered V-Bucks or Robux, which are basically virtual dollars in the game.
Okay.
And then, of course, kids want the dollars.
Yeah.
And they get, you know, they're getting groomed there, sort of thing. So it's really important that parents have these conversations and know where to go to get help if your child wants to download an app or whatever it is, to actually go to somewhere like Common Sense Media. They could go to the eSafety Commission, but I send people to Common Sense Media because I find them the most up to date because they're a business.
Yes.
They
a different, you know, motivation, isn't it, to get the resources out there current. Yeah.
And also it's not just about apps and things. They also will review movies and things like that. But what I love about them is they'll say, these are the pros, these are the cons, and here's a conversation to have with your child. Wow.
That's so powerful and useful, isn't it?
And for parents to have conversations, you know, here in Australia we think we're really good at teaching children sex education. We are failing children.
Yeah.
Because especially in schools, we might talk about STIs and unwanted pregnancies, but I need parents to be their child's Google. Don't ever say to your child, go and Google it, because if they hear something on the radio or in the playground, and they're going to go and Google it. That's why I say that children, we have to have the conversation about pornography by 6 at the latest, because I don't call it pornography for 6-year-olds, I call them private pictures and private movies.
Okay.
But I want children to go and ask their parent rather than...
Yeah, explore for themselves or, yeah, find another place to ask that might not be safe, I think is what I'm looking for, right?
And there is so much pornography on YouTube and... you'll remember this when we were on the retreat. There was somebody on the retreat that was talking about TikTok, and at the time,
yes,
I hate TikTok. TikTok's terrible. It is still terrible.
Yeah,
but I had to suck it up and actually go on TikTok because I had 3 police officers in 3 different states say, "Holly, get over yourself. That's where people are, and they need to hear your education."
Mm.
And so. Because I talk so much about TikTok and I go into schools and tell parents, get your kids off TikTok, all of the parents have got their kids off TikTok, but they're all watching YouTube shorts, which are just TikToks replaced
by something else, right? Yeah. So, and this is, I think, part of the nature of the curiosity of just being human, But little humans, when they like I said, they know more about how to access information online than most of the caregivers that they have. So they find it, yeah, they'll find an alternative. They're still, you know, which clever, but maybe not so clever. Like, depends on the outcome of what the result is and what they're actually being able to access. Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes parents are busy, I understand that, and I'm not here to parent shame, but one of the things I say to parents is there should never be any technology in bedrooms or bathrooms. There's Madonna King here in Australia has released a book just recently about a gentleman named John Rouse and the Argos team who spend their life trying to catch predators. And so I've been watching a couple of interviews and stuff that have been going on. And so John is a police officer, and he's saying when they're looking at the child abuse material, so much of it is actually produced by children themselves because they've been groomed online, but it's all taken in children's bedrooms or in bathrooms.
Wow, okay. And
parents must not let technology in those places.
Yeah.
When I'm working with kids in grade three, so they're eight or nine, two-thirds of the class tell me they go online when their parents are asleep. And so, you know, no technology, you know, either have a lockbox that you can now buy lockbox charge boxes.
Yes, I know.
And it needs to be, you know, in a public place and things like that. So, you know, I hope people listening to this will, you know, have those conversations and not be scared, because if we shy away from these big conversations and something happens to a child, I think they can't come and tell us. If you're on the front foot and say, you know, you can talk to me about anything and we've had open conversations about, you know, your bodies and things like that, they'll know that if something happens that they can come to you.
Right.
I've been sharing.
I think that one of the best things as an adult with any contact with children that you can do for yourself is to educate yourself. And I know when you put your online course out kind of to the general public, so which is a few years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That I remember I invested in that because I'm not a mother, but I am an aunt to four incredible children. And I have other, you know, kids of friends and, you know, further afield in my network. And if I can support in some way, support their parents who might not want to be the ones to go and do that learning, or just like you said, to have those conversations with those children from when they were little, to say this can be, yeah, like you said, one of your safety people. But I understood that, probably because of my knowing you and our conversations, that going and actually getting some education was the best thing, starting point, so that it didn't have to be scary for me. I didn't have to shy away from it. I didn't have to not know how to say certain things, so just don't say them at all. That's going to cause more harm potentially to the youngsters across our world than an adult maybe having some discomfort doing a course like what you offer, right?
And, you know, predators prey on vulnerable children and available children. This happens to good kids, because what do we teach kids? Respect elders, do as your grown-ups tell you to do. Yeah. The last thing a parent, when they leave their child with a babysitter, do as a babysitter tells you. Well, do you know what? Don't even want to touch your private parts. Mm. But we can give them that message.
No.
So it doesn't have to be scary. And when I do parent work, face-to-face parent workshops, parents are always like, what about this and what about this? And you're coming at it with your 20, 30, 40 years life experience. Six-year-olds don't think like that.
No.
And so the program that we teach is giving them a really clear foundation. You know, we talk about safe and unsafe touches and consent from, you know, from this big, you know, from a baby, helping them to recognize the body signals you get when you feel unsafe. In our program, we call them early warning signs.
Mm.
I bet all the listeners have had somebody stand next to them in a crowd and they go, ooh.
Yeah, that's it. You immediately, just don't feel okay, do you? Yeah.
So as adults, we would call it gut feeling, intuition, sixth sense. But with children, they understand early warning signs. So we talk about how animals show their early warning signs and that snails and turtles go into their shell and that squirt ink, and we don't have these in Australia, fortunately. Yep. But every kid knows that a skunk squirts out stinky, farty, smelly stuff.
Yes.
So it's about helping children recognise those body signals, and then if you feel unsafe, who to go and talk to. So it's a very clear foundation, but it also goes into the cyber world. So one of the songs I wrote in a remote community was about grooming and the early warning signs we called red flags.
Yes.
So if you get that, why are they asking me where I live? They don't need to know that when I'm playing a game. Or why are they asking me to get off of this game and go onto WhatsApp or onto Telegram? That's creepy. That's not right. And so
teach them to trust those feelings. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah definitely.
Oh, so interesting. So much we could talk about, but we don't actually have all day. I'm going to ask you in a little while, I've got a couple of questions before then, about how people can connect with you. So at that point in time, Holly, I know you've shared a lot of links and resources with us, like my team and I, so that we will make sure, as we always do, that they're on the show notes. I want no listener to ever go, I couldn't find that person that you were talking to that I got so much value out of that conversation. So that we'll get to that in a moment. Right now, I'd love to ask you the two questions that I've been asking every one of our guests that we've had on the podcast to bring us back into kind of leadership and thriving. And again, in the time you've known me and we've known each other, you know I talk a lot about thriving anyway, so that probably is no surprise to you that I was going to ask about that. But the first question, what role does leadership play in your life and your business, like the work that you do?
I like to think that... you know how shy I am. If we were at a cocktail party, I'd be the person hiding in the toilet sort of thing.
Shapeshifting into the background somewhere, wouldn't you? Yeah.
But, you know, I want to be seen as a leader in this field. So going live, going on camera, anything like that frightens the dickens out of me. But I have a really strong mantra, and my mantra is my message is bigger than me.
That's so powerful.
To try and be a leader, I have to step up. I have to be the voice for children. So, to just try and to be that leader, I have to basically fake it till I make it. Yeah.
Well, I think also something that's coming to mind listening to you is something that I like to kind of, a phrase I use relatively often is practice what you teach. Yeah, and that doesn't mean that you find it easy, comfortable, whatever, but you have a way you want to educate, like for you, children, and then the adults in the world. So if you can't do the things you're asking them to do or consider, like where's the authenticity in that, right? And I think a leader is someone who will go first, potentially, who will put themselves in those uncomfortable situations and say, look, I feel terrible, or I feel overwhelmed, or I feel scared too. But let's do it together kind of thing. Let's, like, you know, I'm not saying look at me, I did it so you can too. It's like, how, you know, it's that inclusive calling in leadership of like, let's all have a go, yeah?
Well, and in our program, we actually cover that in our program. So we teach safety on a continuum. So we've got safe, fun to feel scared, unsafe, but the one that I do all the time is risking on purpose.
Oh, that's a cool phrase.
We risk on purpose to get better at things, to learn new things, to and then it's got, you know, to feel safe, you need to have either a choice, some kind of control, or a time limit on it. You don't need all of them to feel safe, but you at least need one of them.
Yeah.
So, again, when I'm having to go online or something, you know, I know it's not going to, you know, be going forever and ever and ever. I've got 10 minutes, get it over and done with. So. Yeah. Again, that's why our program is so inclusive, because it's, again, giving them the foundation. So if kids don't want to try something, some sort of new food, risk on purpose. They want to put their head underwater when they go swimming. How are you going to swim if you don't risk on purpose?
Yeah.
And, nobody wants to have a needle or go to the dentist. So it's exactly what you're saying about, you know, I try and practice what I preach with the children. And, it's not always easy, but it's...
No, but like, you know, what is life easy? It's like the phrase, another phrase that you would have heard me use so many times, effortless. And then I'm quick to say that doesn't mean effort-free.
Yes.
Right? It means that it talks about a time, a space, a way that where things can be easier over time. It doesn't mean you start immediately and it's effortless. Like there's often a steep learning curve, a lot of discomfort, a lot of other things that get in the way, which is the effortful.
Yeah.
To get to the effortless or the effortlessness, or like easeful is a new phrase that I've been using more. So like, yeah, let's go, let's make things more easeful. Yeah.
Love it.
So yeah, you know, always coming up with words, different ways to say things. So back to thriving though, Pollyanne, how do you know when you're thriving?
When it is effortless, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, when it's not, you know, it's not too hard. I'm just in the moment with the children. You know, I'm not always treated well when I'm, because a lot of people, there's a lot of resistance to, you know, talking about this sort of stuff. But, you know, when I'm with the children, it is effortless. You know, we just have a good time. The kids pick it up really quickly. And people say, Holly, why does your program work? Stories, songs, and sign language. And so it's not scary for children. They just get it. And, you know, when I...
You relate to children because you speak the at their level, right? Don't you? Like, you know, yeah. Like I think that, like, when I've watched you on videos and I've heard you share stories with me about things that you have, the way you've taught things, and it's always made me think of that you're not that taller, older adult person talking down. You're at the level with the children, so there's immediate relatability. Yeah.
And, you know, when you go back to communities, because I'm really blessed to go back, keep going back to the communities and stuff like that. And, you know, when you've got kids coming up and, you know, can I give you a hug? It's called consent, don't you know? Or I wear, you know, earrings and things like that. You will have seen some of the crazy things that I do. I have dresses and so the kids will look at what I'm wearing and go, okay, today we're going to learn about this. And because you're wearing that dress, we're going to be doing the Wonder Woman or whatever it is. And so, you know, when you get that feedback from the children and, oh, Miss Holly, last time you were here, you taught us about the kids helpline and I've rung it 3 times now. And, you know, that's what keeps you going.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's that knowing that even some little thing that you've shared has been remembered, has been acted on or used just, you know, to support the kids. Yeah, it gives me tingles. That's a good body feeling to feel about, right? It's like that's a positive reinforcement thing. I love it. Okay, so there are many places, as I said, that we will make sure all of the links are available in the show notes, many places where people can connect with you and learn from you. What's probably the couple of main places that would be easier for people to go and start kind of learning, connecting with you?
Well, on every platform, I'm safe for number 4 kids. So I've tried to keep it really simple on LinkedIn, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. It's all safe for number 4 kids. Website. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't, the only thing is the old TikTok and Twitter, I was protecting kids. But apart from that, everything else is safe for kids. So,
yeah, great. Easy. So it should be fine, as you said, safe, and then the number 4, and then kids. Not hard, anyone listening, to find that. Go and search and see what you can. And again, I think if someone's not sure where to start but they're intrigued to know more from you, whatever platform, social media platform maybe that they're on, just start there, because I know you're very good at cross, like your leverage, I would call it leveraging your content, where it's not just goes all in one place. You make it, you know, it goes across the different platforms, so it's easier for people to find.
And I've got so much free stuff on YouTube about Safe for Kids.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I've got to educate teachers and I've got to educate parents, because a lot of people, there's pushback against the program because they say that I'm putting the onus on children to keep themselves safe, and that's totally not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Children are the last line of defense.
Mm.
It's not up to a 5-year-old to keep themselves safe. It is our jobs as adults. But if we don't educate the adults about, you know, this program, then, you know, we can't support children.
Yeah, true. And I think, am I correct in saying that if anyone's interested to know more about the books you've written, of which I know there are many now, I've lost track of how many.
Oh, 5 children's books.
Yeah, 5. That your website is the best place to go and explore what they are and...
Yeah, and you'll find my parent online course there as well.
Yeah, true. Awesome. So you also have got another resource that we're going to make a link available for, which is your, what was it, strategies to help ensure your child is cyber safe, which feels like we've talked a lot about some of the great things that could maybe be in that guide, but I know you and how thorough you are with your resources. So that feels like a great starting point for parents or those that, like myself and you, that have children in our lives, but we may not be a parent. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a two-page, yeah, just with dot points, yeah, and then the third page is a cyber agreement so that parents can sit down with their children and go through. They can sign it, and then the parent signs it, and they understand that it's not just in our home, this cyber agreement, it's whenever you're online.
Wherever you are. Yes.
Oh, that agreement's with you.
Yeah, how important it is to extend it beyond just in our space at our home. Yeah. Fabulous. Okay, my lovely friend, as a final question for you, what's one piece of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners today? So kind of leaning into your very extensive and very specific expertise, but something that could really be useful for the, I tend to think of those that are listening to you, She Leads, She Thrives. They're ambitious, want to make an impact, do kind of a good thing in the world. So I have a feeling that what we've talked about, your business stuff, but also your, you know, what you teach and everything around, this support of children globally is going to resonate with a lot of them. So what's a final piece of wisdom you can share?
If you see something, say something or share something. If you see something on my Facebook page or wherever, it's the stone in a pond and it's the ripples that can move out.
Yeah.
You know, the classic saying, it takes a village to, yes, raise a child. It takes a village to keep children safe. And because the world now is so, with the internet, is, you know, every predator can come into a child's bedroom. So for people to share this information, and that's why, you know, I've got so much free stuff out there, because we need to protect children. We had the maltreatment study here in Australia that found that 28.5% of Australia's children will be sexually abused. That's a third of children.
I know, you just don't even want to contemplate it, but that's a reality that we can't ignore.
And so I don't understand why our government isn't, you know, funding programs like mine, or, you know, doing more in this space, because, you know, we're putting money into suicide prevention and things like that. And, you know, the mental health of our children, we know how bad it is after COVID and stuff like that. So it's really important that if you see, you know, information, don't just consume it yourself, please share it.
Yeah. I think even, like, as you said, that the ripple effect, but that can start with just having one friend that you're like, I watched this thing and it really got me thinking, and we've had a conversation with our kids now because of something we listened to or read. Even just telling one more person and saying to them, see if you can think of someone once you've, you know, consumed that information, downloaded that resource, done the agreement with the family, see if there's someone else that you can then tell that to, rather than you maybe just doing it more so we start sharing. We don't just keep it all to ourselves. Yeah. So valuable, of course. So thank you so much for joining me, for saying yes. And I'm glad we got a time where you weren't in some remote community and I wasn't going to be able to talk to you. It all lined up beautifully for now. I look forward to sharing this episode like I do with all of our episodes. But, you know, it's just something, it's a different conversation that we've just had for sure. And listeners, if you have been interested in anything Holly Ann has said, don't just sit around and do nothing. Go with that last piece of wisdom she shared. Go and seek out a resource, just start somewhere. And as I shared from my own personal experience, the children that are immediately in my life as my relations are important to me. Even though I'm their auntie, I'm not their parent. So that's why, again, also I think very much influenced by you, Holly Ann. But go and educate yourself. It actually doesn't take much to know and to maybe become one of those five incredibles, you know, part of that safety team for a child in your life. So, so valuable. So thank you again, Holly Ann. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you.
I look forward to being back with another episode with you next week. Thanks for tuning into today's episode. You are so valued and appreciated. Aside from this podcast, my favorite place to hang out online is definitely Instagram. So come and join me, Shannon_thrivefactor. And no, my DMs are always open for genuine questions and connections. For all the latest Thrive Factor goodness, visit thrivefactorco.com/links, where you'll find more about thriving in life and business.
Be sure to subscribe and rate the show and share it with your friends. Let's amplify thriving the world over.